Well, thank you for the invitation, and thanks, Eric, for introducing my presentation, even though I'm not so sure if I am going to repeat some things because I didn't understand. So when I received your invitation to speak here about the German energy transition, which we call Energiewende, I was wondering, what is it actually, what is so special about the Energiewende that it's worth talking about, otherwhere than in Germany? Because when you look at the ecological performance of Germany, it's only average. For the installation of renewable energies, Germany made a big jump in the last 10 years, but it's still average. Efficiency effects are slowing down since 2010. Greenhouse gas emissions are decreasing slowlier and even started to rise again last year for the first time since 1990. And compared to the other EU member states, Germany is only on level 10 when it comes to ecology. So why is the Energiewende actually worth talking about? And I'd say it is worth because it is, for the first time, a highly industry-based economy who needs a lot of energy, who tries to radically change its complete energy supply system by switching from fossil fuels, including nuclear, to renewable energies, and by significantly reducing the energy consumption. And doing this by remaining prosperous and even increasing the quality of life for its people. And this is what we call Energiewende, and it will be realized by a package of policies and regulations and laws. And here, it's actually a new thing after Fukushima is that it's not a distant goal that we want to achieve somewhere in the future. It is a change after a fixed by the society-defined roadmap with clear targets in a very short period of time. And the good thing is, 93% of the German population do think that's a good idea. So what can we find in this package, Energiewende? I said it sets clear targets for the main three pillars, like for less energy use, for the increase of renewables, and to reduce the emissions. For the latter, it's, for example, until 2020, we want to reduce our emissions by 40%, and until 2030, minus 55%, up to minus 85 to 95% in 2050. And these overall targets are broken down to several sectors, like mobility, industry, heating, and so on. But to achieve these targets, there has to be a technological change. This means we have to phase out fossil fuels. This means we have to phase out nuclear power, which is a central part of the German Energiewende. Because by around 2022, the last nuclear power plant in Germany is to be shut down. Since 2011, we already closed 8, and 9 are being left to be shut down. We also have to phase out coal power. But at this point, we also know that we need conventional power plants to bridge the new volatile system of renewables. So German society and economy is right now arguing about on how long and to what extent we still need the bridging. It's quite a complicated process, as you probably can imagine. And the country plans to fill the gap left over by the conventional power we shut down by natural gas turbines, demand management, and renewables. Since 2000, there has been a capacity installed which contributes to 25% to electricity consumption and 12% to overall energy consumption. Nobody had thought this would be possible 10 years ago. And the core law that made that possible is the German Renewable Energy Act. That's a feed-in tariff system that stipulates that the little guy's renewable power has priority over the corporation's power. So people who install renewable energy in their houses and feed it back into the grid receive a guaranteed tariff for the next 20 years. So, but when we talk about the Energiewende, it's not only a switch from fossil to renewables, it's also reducing energy consumption. Like, for example, if we would switch off all our standby gadget and electric TVs and so on, we could shut down 2 additional nuclear power plants. That's a huge potential. But even though the energy productivity rose over 50% in the last 20 years, it's not enough to run a whole society with 100% renewables. And unfortunately, energy efficiency is probably the field where there has been least success so far. Another element of the Energiewende are eco-taxes. So tax the goods and not tax the bads and not the goods. We introduced them on bio, on diesel, on fuels to produce electricity, and on heating oil, for example. And this, on the one hand, helped to reduce the consumption of these resources. People used a lot less cars, for example. And at the same time, offset employee pensions and lowered the payroll taxes of workers. And this created some 250,000 jobs alone. So what do unions think about the Energiewende in Germany? As you probably know, unions, as in every other country, have had difficulties in combining the dimension of employment and environmental protection. That's the same in Germany. An example herefore is the relation of the unions with the anti-nuclear power movement. When the first anti-nuclear power movement arose in the 70s, the Confederation, we only have one Confederation with affiliates all over the unions, organized a pro-nuclear demonstration in a football stadium. So we had 25,000 workers during work time, this is special in Germany, protesting pro-nuclear and saying yes to nuclear, including the then future Chancellor Helmut Schmidt. Only some years later, the first union started to think maybe nuclear is not the best way to achieve our energy because it's a quite risky technology, and said we have to end it. And a big conflict was born in the union movement because one said yes and the other said no. And then there was Chernobyl, and which altered all attitudes of all of the unions, and they took the decision to end it. But still, concrete phasing out plans were a taboo at this time. And only until the end of the 90s and 2000s, unions started to discuss a phase out to be enforced even by collective agreements, which developed options for workers to drop out early or contribute to the Rückbau, which means the deconstructions of the nuclear power plants. So the fears of losing the jobs were transformed in new perspectives. And because of the knowledge and skills, people who work in nuclear power plants are so valuable in deconstructing them, they will have their jobs for the next decades to come. Now we are probably facing similar conflicts for the coal phase out, and it's not going to be pretty, but we really have to take also the sorrows and concerns of our colleagues in the mining sector very serious. But this example shows that unions made a turn from employment against environmental protection towards employment through environmental protection. So for German unions, the Energiewende is seen as a driver for socio-ecological modernization. Materials, machines, systems, engines who are used in the Energiewende are produced by the industry in Germany and the craft sector in Germany. So they are going to be the main actors, and if they are not yet, they have to become it. Because it's them who develop energy-efficient technology, it's them creating new markets for services, and it's also them who benefit a lot of the Energiewende. What the Energiewende also does is it sets free large investments and gets money moving. For example, the investment in renewable energy rose from 9 billion euros to 20 billion euros in 2012. And also the turnover with renewable energies, production, installation, maintenance, increased to 50 billion euros 2 years ago. And what pleases us unions, of course, very well as well, is that the Energiewende creates employment. In 2012, we had 377,000 jobs only in the renewable sector. So, again, the production of the technology, the installation of the renewables, and the maintenance of the renewables, including also the sectors that are delivering and producing for the renewable sector. And that's only the renewable sector. It's not jobs linked to energy efficiency services or anything like that. On the whole, we have more than 2 million people working in jobs who are linked to environment or climate. That's more than all people are employed in the automobile industry. The legal framework of the Energiewende, mainly due to the Renewable Energy Act, actually, led also to a new distribution of ownership and investment in energy. By the end of 2011, the big four, that's the big four energy suppliers, Vattenfall, RWE, E.ON, collectively only made up 7% of all investments in the renewables. Industry about 9%, and more than half of the investments were done by private persons and farmers. And it's also estimated that we have a lot of cooperatives, community-owned renewable projects, which have leveraged 800 million euros. So this new kind of ownership structure creates ownership for the Energiewende and the transition process itself, and also at the same time reduces NIMBYism, the not-in-my-backyard syndrome, because it's their own thing to do. What do the unions do to support the Energiewende? One of the most successful examples is the initiative called Alliance for Work and Environment. The Confederation developed, together with its unions, a program to renovate existing buildings after efficiency standards, which helped, at the one hand, to protect climate and reduce energy consumption in buildings. And on the other hand, it contributed to creating sustainable jobs, because at this time when they invented this program, the German construction sector was in a heavy crisis. And in order to push their program, the Confederation asked the German government, the employers' federations, and also the civil society to join, and they founded the Alliance for Work and Environment and pushed for this program. And the results of it you see here. It still goes on until today. And the core of it is you can receive cheap or government loans at a very low interest if you renovate your building on certain efficiency standards. And only in these 4 years, 2006 to 2010, more than 900 loans were distributed. Many investment was triggered. 1 euro public investment triggered 8 euro private investment. Apartments, 2.4 million apartments were retrofit, CO2 emissions could be reduced, and 340,000 workplaces created and maintained each year. So on the whole, there was also a reduction of unemployment costs, an increase of income taxes, lower heating bills for tenants, so all over a very nice program. Besides this alliance, unions do a lot of other initiatives. As German unions are based on sectors, they do make their own initiatives because every sector has its own discourses and own needs. So, for example, to be able to remain an industry-based economy and remain competitive, German companies were always forced to put a lot of effort into energy efficiency. But there are still big potentials to do more. And the driver often forgotten in this process are workers themselves, because they have to know how regarding their work process, what's going on, where can we optimize processes. And therefore, we invented a training and awareness raising program together with work councils and shop stewards to give efficiency still more attention in the company. And yeah. When we talk, that's what Jonathan was talking about. He talked about green climate jobs. I'm talking about green jobs, because we had a lot of green jobs created, but these green jobs were not really fair jobs very often. Many companies in the renewables who have been newly founded did not really respect the workers' rights. So we had to drive a huge campaign of organizing in this particular renewable sector. Unions also do have a great influence in the vocational training system. So in dialogue with schools and employers, they observe the markets and the new needs for new skills on the markets, and they invent new occupations and new job profiles. That's what they, for example, did for a bioenergy officer, so somebody who can look after biogas plantations all over. Because we have 40,000 jobs also in the biomass sector in Germany. And as the Energiewende is a project for the whole society, unions do also engage in various dialogues with civil society, as you do here today. One example is the Climate Alliance, a network of development, environment organizations, churches, and unions, who asked last year with a paper for a fairly and just Energiewende. And for the first time, NGOs asked, together with the unions, for a legal minimum wage. So we have five bottlenecks which will determine the speed and success of the Energiewende in the next years. And the two ones with the red circle are the main fields of activity for unions, in my view. That is know-how, creating know-how and guaranteeing to have enough skilled people to develop the new technologies and processes we need in the Energiewende, and of course under decent working conditions. Because only with decent work, companies can find the skilled workforce they need. In Germany, we have a big problem with demographic change, and the craft sector and industry are already now having problems finding suitable skilled workers. So we have to ensure that we have collectively agreed wages, not dumping wages, flexible working conditions, and ensure also the participation of workers in the decision of the company. And the other field is the acceptance. Unions need to contribute to reach a higher acceptance. This 93% is for the Energiewende in general, because it's a nice idea. But when it comes to the details, of course, opinions go like that. And unions need to ensure this acceptance by including or integrating their own workers, their own members, in the discussion processes, in the planning from the first moment. And we also need to maintain the Energy Act for the ownership, because the Energiewende can only work if people own it. And also, which is very important, we have to look after the fact that financial burdens and also the benefits are shared under the people. And the state has to contribute and support and financially, but also ensuring a stable legal framework for the Energiewende. So what do we have learned in our Energiewende? As flat as it sounds, energy transition is possible, I would say. Nobody, as I said, would have thought that such an amount of 25% share in renewables in the electricity consumption would have been possible 10 years ago. Photovoltaic became so affordable, that was not a real fact 10 years ago. Wind turbines generate more and more efficiency, so the first ones installed 10, 15 years ago are replaced now already. But for this to happen, we need a clear, as I said again, a political legal framework with long-term targets and stable funds. And we have to do it all together. We need to ensure participation, inclusion, and sharing the burdens on profits. And to us, it's also very important to think the Energiewende European-wise, because there is no such thing as an autarkic energy system. A better coordination allows better solutions. And therefore, the Confederation in Germany, also in the frame of the economic crisis in Europe, in the EU, developed a European Marshall Plan, which could contribute to cope with the crisis and create workplaces in the sustainable economy. So now I spoke a lot about the chances and advantages of the Energiewende, but I think we do not put so much efforts in it because we just need and love to put so much efforts into it. No, it's more about, it's more than win-wins and profits and investment and the employment we can gain. It's very important that we gain it by it. But we also do it because it's the biggest contribution of Germany to protect the climate. So, thank you. Thank you.